on her back.
Sure.
And then he popped a door, like a trap door. And so they go down.
And just disappeared?
Like he left.
My work is done.
Stayed. Yeah. So she sat there. And like waiting for, like, I guess another guy to walk up.
So
he's it's like, just brutal.
Thanks, like, Connie. I'm going to head down.
Yeah, I'm done. I'll send up the next guy. Like, and you're just like so, like, it's so morbid. And I don't know, unless you're really.
Unless you're the guy across from you with the thick glasses.
You just see guys like, it was great.
Did you ever go to the vault?
I can't remember who I would go. We would go all the time. Like, that was my, like, I wanted to bring dates there. Like, I would be like, you have to see this. It's amazing. Like, it's just one thing. Like,
to understand,
it's like
me.
a discovery. It would be like a investigative journalist's thing. Like, oh my God, I got this thing. Like, no one else has ever seen this. No one's thought about it. This is my discovery. I'm like Charles Darwin. I could discover that you can look at the other people.
I did that.
And then people are like, yeah. Like when I bring people in, they're like, Jesus. Like you'd walk out and they'd be like, oh, God. Like which thing? The fucking or the people? Both. Oh, my God. It's awful.
I took my girlfriend to the vault. Did you ever go to that place?
No.
Did you? Do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like in the 90s, I was out with my girlfriend and some of her friends that I had just met. It was probably like 1995, maybe. And I had heard about the vault and had friends who had been there, and they made it sound like it was just like a crazy place with like ladies in leather walking around and stuff. And,
right.
You know, just like a little edgy.
No.
So,
right.
So we were having dinner, and we were trying to figure out what to do next. And just to get people thinking, I said, let's go to the vault. Not thinking like, oh, we'll go to the vault. But then everyone's like, oh, yeah, we should go there.
This was just you and a date or you and a bunch of people?
Like a bunch of people.
And you on a first date?
No.
No, okay.
But early on in the courtship.
That's it.
And right. We're probably like six people.
That's
enough. We went to the vault.
It's an iffy choice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was one I thought, like, getting thinking, like, maybe the vault, and then we'll just end up at a decent bar. Like, that's where we're...
Maybe there's a decent bar in within the confines of the vault.
Yeah. So we
I'm
go
sure
there.
There's a nice area.
It's where the Dos Caminos is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go in there. There's guys jerking off, and...
Was it bondage, or was it gay or was
no?
No, it was just anything goes.
It was anything goes, and then but you go in there and it's like a lot of NYU students, a lot of like businessmen, like hey, let's do something crazy, like a bunch of guys in suits walking in, like whoa, what's going on?
Right.
And I guess we were some
a lot of tourists.
Kind of in that group of people, and we go in, and then all of a sudden I heard this like, you know, when cats have sex, you're like, what is that? And then you realize, like, oh, that's a cat. Cats are fucking outside. So it was that sort of sound.
Or I'm fucking.
Yeah. And then I walked over, and there's this group of guys surrounding this woman, and I'm looking, trying to see what's going on, and there's a guy, like an older guy with a blonde wig on, like probably in his 50s, and this woman is dressed up in like a dominatrix and has her arm up the guy's ass, like up to...
It was his voice?
Yeah, he was like, ah! And she's up to her elbow in this guy.
Oh.
And I'd never seen anything understandably. I never
you didn't even know that could happen.
No, it was like...
You hadn't conceived that yet. Like,
no.
Wait,
it didn't occur to me that was happening in the world. Yes. It would be like if someone removed their head and held it at their side. Like, it was that, like, what is...
Well, it must be like, wait. Like, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, my... Like, wait, what is... That's his ass. Like, oh, my God. That's her... Right. Like, you must come incrementally.
I couldn't process it. Like, I saw this with the people I was with. and then walked away and I had to ask just to confirm what I had seen. I'm like, what did you see? And they're like, oh, she had her arm up his ass. And I don't think I spoke for 2 weeks after that. Like
you
I couldn't.
Speak.
I was just couldn't. I wanted to go on like a retreat or something. Like I was so
to wash the memory.
I was so upset. Like I just didn't.
And now you can't stop getting fisted.
No, I can't. Now it's like getting coffee in the morning.
Right. Well, it is. That start. It's like that's how everything starts. You just discover it, and then like now you know about it.
But I felt
like I didn't know there was sushi until I was like 18. I lived in like central Massachusetts. I didn't even know what that. Like I saw it. That was like my version of your fisting.
Now I was like, oh, it's Monday. Guess we get a good fisting.
But now, right. Now you can't go to the vault anymore. But you can go to Dos Caminos.
You can go to Dos Caminos.
They do it there. Like, there's still, like, relics of the... It's a zoning.
I should go there because...
Like, there's an area in Dos Caminos where to go.
Business as usual.
Right, it's like they make you like when they make the guacamole at the table for you. There's a waiter that will you can get fisted. Well, my girlfriend used to live in this above the old homestead.
Oh, really?
So she's she would go to all the all those clubs and. I hope it wasn't her.
I don't think it was. No, definitely wasn't.
It might have been. I
was
when you're
drunk.
In your 20s, you'll do anything to make money.
Yeah, not, it doesn't even count.
If you fist an old man, it's not like...
Whatever.
You just get to wash your hands.
And then years later, I was working on this Spike TV show. And they had...
perfect transition.
But then they had like... this thing where there were S&M people in this one shoot, like real people. And so there was this older guy and he seemed like pretty legitimate. And I started telling him the story and he was like, oh, I think I know the guy you're talking about. I swear.
Oh, you mean the guy from the vault?
He claimed, like, he was like, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I know that guy.
Oh, the guy who got fisted every night.
Yeah. He said he had died.
He's chairman of Revlon now. That's crazy. I mean, there must have been so many guys who did that. Or well, maybe not.
But
maybe
in
like
my description, I was like an older guy, blonde wig. And he's like, oh, yeah, Rick. Or whatever.
The guy, oh, the older guy with the blonde wig was the guy getting fisted. Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I described this to this
other guy. So he was like a regular. Like, oh, yeah, Rick.
Yeah, like, I ever know.
He's here, he's here all the time.
But
he's like the norm of the cheers of the vault.
But the guy was complaining. He's like, yeah, all that stuff's gone now. You can't, it's really hard to find stuff like that now.
Well, I'm sure there has to be some, like, version of it. And
I guess he says more private now, like parties and stuff.
I guess, like, certainly not in Manhattan, but, if you go to Tenafly, it's, all over the place.
The Tenafly S&Ms.
If you go to the JCC in Tenafly, it's, like, the bottom floor is absolutely insane. Ugh. They are like, they just have to hose that down every morning before the kids come in.
Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you. I always wonder this, because in Cleveland, in the suburbs of Cleveland, we never had, where I grew up, you would never find a store that had, like, a huge dildo or something in the window. And in New York, that stuff's like any
in
kid
the village,
can see that. Yeah, and I always think like, if I saw this when I was like 6 years old, I would have been like, my head would have exploded.
I don't know.
Do you like shield your kid or
no?
Do you
he I don't think they put dildos in the window, but I think they did, and then someone else complained, not me. I would have like celebrated. I remember even I wanted to see, like, I just want to see a line of dildos, because I'd love that to try to explain that to my kid. Like 300 dildos in a row. Like, what is that? Well, it's a sales technique. And but I know that they've definitely been, they've been like reprimanded by neighborhood committee or whatever, the group of irate moms or dads who are like, I walk my kids at PS 41 every day. Like, and this is ridiculous. Like, my kid is like, he's in love with your picture. It is like, there's costumes and, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's like the underwear that's like crazy dong or something. You know, it's like a guy with a huge dong coming out, and there's, you know, it's animated. Yeah. So everything's like cartoon, and I wonder whether it will get him interested in that really early on. Like, he'll be prodigiously inventive sexually.
He'll figure out how to use the accommodator.
Yeah, well, that he can see in my apartment.
It's not that hard.
He doesn't have to. Yeah, I mean, we have. There's like an annex of fantasy in my apartment. But
Dad, where's my baseball glove?
Next, it's right under the.
No. It, look under the accommodator.
Yeah, but next to the pocket pussy. Yep, there you go. Yeah, no, it's a new one. Yeah, it's a direct mold of a famous porn star. That's her actual. And well, I know I saw. Well, you know, you saw like when the first time I saw pornography was in this kid is in fifth grade. I remember it so well. So I stayed over his house, and he had a tree house in his backyard. And like, there were very few, you know what this is getting, yeah. You know where this is going.
Yeah. Keep going. I need this.
And that kid is now married to Kelly Ripa. there were very few, I lived in like a predominantly white neighborhood in the suburbs, and there was one, literally one black family who went to my elementary school. One kid who went to my, not family, the family lived nearby, and I was friends with him, and I stayed over his house once. They were really nice. Not that they normally aren't. They. But he brought me back to his treehouse, and he was like, you know, you want to see something? And I was like, yeah. And then he pulled out like a ton of porn, like magazines, but they were all black. So like, I was like,
wow, double whammy.
Well, I was just like, I'd never seen, you know, anything like that. I'd seen naked people like at the Y, but I was just like, so for like 2 years, I thought like the only black people
did any
were
of
like
stuff?
Had sex. You know, I thought it was just an exclusively black thing. But then like a year later, I remember I saw there was a guy. So I mean, that wasn't a shop or anything, but you know, you like discover stuff like randomly when you're a kid like that. It's like, it's usually through some kid who's probably like, you know.
When did you finally find out that it wasn't just black people having sex?
Well, it is. What do you mean?
Well,
what? No.
See what other questions I have here.
No, I. But then the next year, maybe like a year later, I was walking home from school, and there was a car pulled over on this sort of street that, like, there was no parking on the sides. It was just like odd that a car was there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Unless you were pulled over to put your hazards on, you wouldn't pull over there normally. And I walked by it. You know, I was walking home with my friend. And we walked by it, and I looked in the window, and I just saw like a guy, like a classic masturbator, like a guy who looked like
one of the greats.
One of the guys, yeah, you would imagine, just this guy with a dirty shirt on, huge dick, like this huge dick was jerking off.
He just like, had it I'm out watching, in the
like I'm in his, I'm in the passenger window. You know, he's on the other side. Like, and he's just like looking at me. And I was just like, I had my head in, like it couldn't have been worse. Like, he could have pulled me in, but he didn't. He was just jerking off. Like, he must have started before I got there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the kind of thing where, like, I got to pull over.
Sure.
Like, I got to do this now. Like, I don't, there's nowhere else to go. And I had my, like, literally, like, my head in, just because I was, like, I got more and more curious. Like, I saw his, he's just, like, rubbing his dick, you know, and I'm
did
like.
Did he say, hi, I'm John Benjamin.
Well, he just sort of stared at me, like, I don't know, like, yeah, what do you do? And then I kind of got startled, like, after figuring out, like, why, this is weird. Like, that's his dick. I don't know what to do. I, like, got startled and, like, ran back. And the kid who I was with he came up, behind, and I was, like, pointing, like, look in that car. Holy shit. And, like, he did the same thing. Like, he looked, he was like, what? Like, look in the car. Look at that guy. Like, he looked in, and, like, his face went, like, and he turned, like, came bam back, and he was like, I was like, did you see that? And the kid was like, oh, my God, like, there were so many beer cans. And I'm like, what? And he was like, oh, my God, there were so many beer cans in the on the floor. I'm like, the guy's dick was out. What? He was holding his dick in his hand. And he looked at me. And the kid was like, what are you talking about? And then, like, the car pulled away. You didn't see his dick? This is the creepiest thing I've ever seen. Like, oh, my God.
How old were you?
He was so excited. Like, that guy drinks so much beer. Which is, like, so exciting.
That is,
for
yeah.
For a kid. Like,
either
oh, my
way,
God.
This guy's
that
really
guy
cool.
Has beer in his car.
I remember in high school.
That was, like, that was, like, sixth grade or something. So we were like 11 or 12 or fifth grade or something. That was a year after the black pornography incident.
Wow.
So it all started to come together, I guess.
We had this, I was on the high school tennis team briefly, and we would practice.
As was I.
I know. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so we would practice at these courts, like these city courts in Cleveland, in this, like, shitty park. And every day there would just be this line of cars with men.
That's so funny.
By themselves.
I had a situation like that.
Oh, really?
In high school. But it was with one guy.
Oh, this was like 10 cars.
That's
and it would just
crazy.
Be like... And we
what
would
is the deal with tennis and why...
Yeah, we're
it's the
like,
outfits?
Oh, that's weird. Well, because it was like 5 o'clock, we're like, oh, these guys are probably just clear in their heads after
that's
work.
Like happy hour.
Yeah, like
for pedophiles.
Yeah, like long day at the office, go to the park, and then head home for dinner. You know, but I was like, oh, that's reasonable.
It was really fun. So all these like, there's so many middle-aged male tennis enthusiasts in our town.
Oh, look who showed up.
You gonna wrap it up?
That's because Ronnie just swung by. Yeah, we got it. We did some good podcasting.
Good work.
Here.
I mean, what time is it?
We did a solid hour, yeah, power hour of podcasting.
That was a power hour.
Yeah,
there was a lot of talk about.
We almost did.
There was a lot of indecent talk.
It's a solid. I would
immodest.
I would wager that the word come. Was used every third sentence.
Yeah, welcome to my world. That's what I'm about.
Well, thanks for coming by my beautiful home.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. I was hot, but I enjoyed it.
Are you still hot?
I stopped drinking hot tea, then I realized.
If you give the AC a couple hours.
But I just was drinking a hot tea, and when I finished that, now I'm cooling down.
Yeah, a couple hours, the AC will.
Bye, Dave Hill.
What's that?
I mean, bye for Dave Hill for the podcast, but I'll stay and then.
Oh, leave. Yeah, bye. Okay, thanks.
That's it for this week, guys. Thanks for listening. Apologies for not having a totally brand new episode, but we're going to be back next week. Guns blazing, of course. Thanks once again to our Patreon subscribers. And if you haven't already, head over to patreon.com/Dave Hill. We have some Black Friday deals going on through Monday that you're not going to want to miss. Anyway, head to iTunes, leave us a nice review. It really makes us feel good about ourselves. That's not a joke at all. And if you're once again in Portland, we're going to be at Kelly's Olympian tomorrow. If you're listening to this today, that's tomorrow at 2 p.m. But if you're also in Portland, come out. Dave's doing a bunch of stand-up there for the festival. It's going to be wild. We might try to record an episode there as well. Anyway, thanks once again. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Bye. Oh, no, since you've been gone, since you've been gone, in the mills and bed. Oh, no, since you've been gone, since you've been gone, I can't keep time from standing.
Listening to Dave Hill's podcasting incident. For more information, go to foobarradio.com.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I'm very good. Although I will admit, a week of solid Queen news has battered me a bit. I'm quite tired, quite exhausted. What have you made of it all? It's been a big week, isn't it?
Such a big week. I mean, obviously, I've just seen the funeral. Everything about it is just, I think it was done so well. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you kind of see like the pageantry that went into it, and it was an event, wasn't it, really? And
definitely.
Just something that we don't see every week. So, yeah, I think they definitely did her proud. I think it was a lovely event. I mean, as lovely as a funeral can be, let's have it right. But do you know the bit that got me? I mean, I think I was saying last week, when it's the grandsons, we see William and Harry, that always kind of chokes me, because I always remember them behind Diana's coffin. But for me this time, which is going to probably sound weird to some people, was when I saw the Queen's corgis.
Yeah. It
literally ripped my heart out. Oh, God bless them. Which some people are going to be like, Bobby, they're dogs. But to me, dogs are the best. And bless them. But thinking, where's our mum? I've got this thing where I kind of put human emotions onto animals. They might be thinking that, but I think dogs are very clever. In fact, they was just waiting. I just think it was a lovely little tribute.
I agree. Yeah, I thought I did watch like all 6 hours of it. Me and my friend. It was quite like by the end, I was a bit delirious. It was a lot of wind instruments and drum beats and marching and you know all this choral music. But yeah, I do think there was some really touching moments. I agree with you on the corgis. Everyone's aware of the Queen's love of a corgi, right?
Yeah.
And I know from writing about it. In the last couple of weeks, and she's had corgis since she was like a child, and over the years she's had over 60 corgis, and they're all directly descended from one of her corgis called Susan that she had when she was a teenager. Yeah,
they're all related back.
Yeah.
Love that.
And then she's had a couple of other dogs as well. Apparently, she's had some Dachshunds and pugs and other sort of small dogs, but the corgi is like the one that everyone will forever associate with her, right?
I was reading that I guess is no surprise, but the sales and the demand of corgis since the Queen's passed away has gone through the roof. Like, everyone wants a corgi now.
Yeah. Well, they're a real, like, almost like a British sort of staple, aren't they? You associate them with the royal family. I don't think there's, like, any other sort of animal that you do the same. Although I do think that the other... So there's some of the other moments I was really touched by was actually her horse, Emma, that they brought out, and she had one of the Queen's headscarves on her saddle. you get emotional, Bob.
It's animals to me.
I'm
a very animal to people sometimes.
And I think probably the Queen did as well, to be honest. I think that's not beyond the realms of possibility. But also actually at the very, very end when her coffin was being lowered into the crypt. And there was the bagpiper, the lone bagpiper that sort of walked through a tunnel, and just into the distance, and it slowly got quieter and quieter. And I'm not really one for a bagpipe. I'm the kind of person that's relieved when a bagpipe stops playing. But that I found really poignant, because she was woken up every morning by bagpipe, right? So she clearly loved the sound. She was very, very connected to Scotland and Scottish culture. And I think for that to be the last thing that you hear associated with her, that really got me, actually. And I'm not a royalist. I really am not. But I appreciate the historic sort of nature of it all. And that I did find that quite like a poignant and emotional moment.
Absolutely. And it was just flawless, wasn't it? Mm. Every little person involved, from like the walking to which in itself is going on people walk, but just everything to an inch of its life was just perfect. Like, and the pressure. How many people do they reckon? I saw somewhere, someone said 5 billion people in the world could have
been. Possibly.
I can't even comprehend that kind of number, but to know the world's watching, and the guys that carried the coffin.
Oh, the pallbearers,
incredible.
And, imagine being there, like their family or something. You'd be so incredibly proud of them, wouldn't you? I mean, they really did themselves and their service proud, I think.
Some of them, they look so young, some of them. Do you know what I mean? Well, I think some of them had literally flown over a week before they're actually in service at the moment, and they've come over to do this, and I guess they're going back.
Yeah, and actually that's their job. They're like official pallbearers. Like, that is actually something that they train to do.
And the pressure's on doing that. Do you know what I mean? I mean, anyone's coughing, you want to do it right. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
gosh, when you've got the Queen on your shoulders, like, there ain't no
bit,
room.
Different level.
Yeah. Yeah, little bit.
I mean, I definitely found the whole thing. I mean, I thought Charles handled it very well. The one thing I was a bit sad about, and so I saw some people mention actually online, was how there wasn't any sort of personal things from the Queen. You know, at people's funerals, quite often you'll get just some sort of note about the person or the kind of person that they were. There wasn't really any of that. And I mean, maybe that's there was another service that was going on in the evening. Maybe that would have been more with that involved. But so that means for the whole of the Queen's life, from birth to death, we knew nothing about what she actually thought about the world or her job, really, other than that she was dedicated to it. And I think
that probably is what goes to make her so popular, where people, because especially, you know what the world's like now with the height of social media, everyone has opinions. I mean, we all do. But I think for the Queen, that the fact she's so loved as well is because she never gave her opinion publicly. So whether it was politics or anything, I'm sure behind closed doors with family and friends, she would. But maybe because you can't offend anyone because no one can disagree with you. So that kind of almost doubles your likability because no one actually knows what you truly think. And I guess that's the air of mystery behind the royals, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. And I think I think I would have just liked to have known something of like, I don't know, but I do get it. I mean, I don't want to wrap it up too quick, but I will say the other big showbiz news this week has been kind of related. I think everyone's probably seen by now all the drama surrounding this morning and the queues and the apparently pushing in line.
What did you think about when you saw all that?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, initially, when I saw the pictures, I was like, oh, well, that doesn't seem right. That Holly and Phil got, Holly Willoughby and Phil Schofield got to sort of go into the Westminster Hall without having to queue, especially when other people like David Beckham, Suzanne Reid and Sharon Osbourne, they'd all queued up. But I do think there it's been a bit of a pile-on. You may not like Holly and Phil or even this morning, to my mind, they were recording outside and stuff, weren't they? Meeting people in the crowds and all that. Maybe they didn't have to go into Westminster Abbey, but they didn't push in anyone's way. You can see in the video footage that came out about them, they're walking right behind everyone else. And I don't know, it didn't lead to anyone not being able to get in. Do you know what I mean? Everyone that wanted to get in, got in. So I don't know. I feel like it's been a bit of a pile on. Feel a little bit sorry for them. Like
this huge petition to have them sacked from this morning and stuff.
Yeah.
And again, like I was saying about social media, you know how quick news spreads. And I think, obviously, it's turned out to not be factually correct from clips that I think have now been seen, but it was alluded to that they had pushed in front of people, and particularly, I can't remember, it's been retweeted so many times, someone saying that she was with a disabled mother-in-law or something, and there was all this kind of thing around it. But like I said, I think it's the nature of the beast with social media as well. The minute something goes out and starts getting traction, retweeted, I think it's good they addressed it on the show, though. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Could it not? It's kind of mad to think. I can't remember what the last figure was. I only saw the front page of one of the papers today, but I think it was over 25,000 signatures or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's gone up. I think it's close to 40,000 signatures now. But I can't think that every one of those people I don't know. It seems a bit odd to me. They probably didn't see the clips initially. They're seeing it based on all the retweets and the outrage without maybe knowing all of the background. Maybe they are really upset and maybe that's fair enough. But I can see a situation in which, you know, the Holly and Phil would have had the decision made for them, not them saying we must go inside.
And then they've both jumped in an Uber and gone, let's blag it.
Producer,
cameras, and there's been a segment on the show. So, I mean, this is the thing, especially something around a huge as the Queen. Of course, everyone's going to have their opinions on it, and that's fine. But I think the fact that filming has taken place kind of has to be taken into consideration that it was almost being reported on. Rather than they've turned up on their day off.
I am interested to see if any other journalists got that same level of access, because there wasn't any filming allowed inside Westminster Abbey, apart from obviously the official cameras on the feed. But, you know, I don't know. I feel bad for the fact that it's got as out of...
As big as it's got.
Yeah.
Like the genie is out of the bottle now, and it's just become such a huge thing now. But I was... reading that, I don't know if it's all working MPs, but they was given passes for them and three family members. So
really,
yeah. So I think, I don't know if that's because obviously it's like that they're working or for them to pop in, but they kind of were passes allegedly given to MPs to kind of turn up with like family or people that wanted to kind of jump in and, or not jump in the queue.
There were some people that got
14 hours.
Yeah, I mean, and you did see that world leaders, you know, Joe Biden and the Prime Minister of New Zealand and all sorts of other people were didn't have to queue. You know, it wasn't, and you can understand why that is the case. So I don't know, like it wasn't quite like as straightforward as everyone thought it would be, I think. But still, I mean, if people are upset, then they're upset, aren't they? And I wouldn't have wanted to think that if I'd have waited 14 hours that someone had jumped in front of me. I don't know. So it's a difficult story, isn't it, really? But yeah, I wouldn't want to be working behind the scenes on This Morning this week. That's what I'd say. Well, we have a super exciting show coming up today. We have from new Netflix show, Dated and Related, which when I first saw, I thought, hold on a second. Have we now got an incest dating show going live on TV? No. Not quite that.
Don't go ready for that.
We have Nina and Diana, who, funnily enough, themselves are on This Morning today, coming on to talk about that. Then we have Finley Tapp, Love Island winner 2020, coming on to talk about all things to do with the show and also his football career. And then at the end of the show, we've got very exciting Brian McFadden, of Boys Life fame, formerly of West Life fame, coming on to talk about his tour, which he's about to go on. So yeah, super exciting stuff. I mean, I've never actually met Brian McFadden, and I'm quite excited. I won't lie, he's a bit like of a pop legend, isn't he, really?
I remember having a little bit of a crush on Brian McFadden. We won't tell him that.
We won't go into that when he's here.
We won't mention that.
Look, absolutely. The amount of people that we've had on our show that at one point I may have had a crush on is probably too many to remember at this point. And I'm not going to lie, Finley, who's coming on after the girls from, I keep wanting to say, Dated and Related, he's also quite attractive. So there is also some almost a little bit sad news this week for any Peter Andre fans. And I think there are quite a few. In the world, apparently he's moving back to his native Australia because he wants to be closer to his aging mum, which you can understand. But he's got four kids and two of them with Katie Price. I'm wondering if they're all going to go or if it'll just be him and Emily and the youngest ones. I think it'll be sad to not have him as part of like our celebrity scene, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess I'm trying to work out how old Julian would be.
Must be about 16 or something, wasn't he? Yeah, they're slightly older.
I'd be surprised if they was going. Because I guess that's the hard thing as well, especially when your parents aren't together, to go to the other side of the world and to not be with your mum. It's such a long way, isn't it? But I'm sure they'll be coming and going. Has it been announced yet? Has he put a statement out?
No, he just did. It was in his column, in one of the magazine columns that he has. Yeah, just saying that he's thinking about doing it fairly soon because his mum's getting old. And you can I really do understand that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you live so far away, Australia and UK, very far apart. But I think it'll be sad, that's all. I just think, you know, sad times if we don't have Peter Andre on our social scene or on some reality show or something. Because, you know, that's what he's good at, that stuff. Right, well, we've got one half of our first guests here. We've got Diana from Dated and Related. So let's get her in. And then when Nina's here, we'll get her in too.
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. KSI and Randolph. Are you there, KSI?
Yo, what's up?
So, why are you having fights with people?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got to show that I'm the best boxing YouTuber on YouTube.
What is happening in Brixton?
So we got a show. We got, like, our, you know, London show.
And what happens in that? Is that all singing and rapping, or is that a bit of fighting and all chucked in for good fun?
I mean, if you punch me, nothing would happen, though. I'd just be like, did a fly hit me, or... I don't know.
Look at this. I reckon if I keep pushing their buttons in the right way, they'll start fighting each other right now. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? We're joined by Katie Manning now in the studio. You nearly fell off your chair.
I'm very physical. Good. Did you know what I mean? I get very excited. Yeah. And for a woman of my age, that's quite scary.
How old are you? 38-ish?
Oh, you're darling.
Around 38.
I could be your grandma, darling, because I'm 72.
Why could you not be my girlfriend?
Yeah, do you not want to be...
Do you like an older woman, darling?
I like anyone.
Who says yes?
Yeah. No, I'm like, I wouldn't have any.
I just missed my mouth then. That was maybe you should not have me.
That's a good point, actually, isn't it? Phaser is now sat opposite me.
We're all puppets, but I like to pull my own strings.
Yeah, no, I don't think we are all puppets, though.
In entertainment, you know, like...
Do you really think that?
Punch and Judy type thing.
Do you think? I'm not a puppet.
You can be your own puppet.
I'm not a puppet.
You're not a puppet.
What are you? You are actually a puppet. You had a guess, you've been made into a puppet. He has actually been made into a puppet, haven't you?
Yeah, but I'm...
It wasn't like a voodoo puppet or nothing like that.
I have a big collection of voodoo dolls at home.
No.
And really, I've been pulling out little teeth recently in them, and you have been going to the dentist. So
I wouldn't be
there.
Surprised if you did have a load of... That actually wouldn't shock me. We're joined now by Alex Fox.
I'm not a fan of 50 Shades. Those books are not well loved by many people on the responsible fetish community scene because they depict in many ways a problematic dynamic. Least exciting erotic series that I've seen in a while. I virtually fell asleep watching those films. But
that
also,
can happen after a while.
True. If I'm late for anything, it's usually had a wank falling asleep. A fap and a nap, as I like to call it.
Every Monday, Ian Molesworth, from 4 p.m.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, you are both together. That's great. We will be thinking
it this way, or should we have it?
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Thank you so much. How are you both?
We're good. How are you? We've been having interviews after interviews all day.
Yeah, I actually saw you on this morning today.
That was so much fun.
How did that go? Is it good?
Honestly, yeah, it was amazing.
What were Holly and Phil like?
Amazing.
So sweet.
They're so sweet. They make you feel so comfortable. Like, amazing experience. Yeah.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about Dated and Related. We were talking about it at the beginning of the show. I have, if you've never heard of it or seen it, explain a bit what it's about.
So basically, the show is about siblings helping each other and wingmanning each other, finding love. So this show is more about not you only finding love, but you have to focus on your sibling. So it's kind of like a plot twist. It's not only for you to find love. You can't be selfish. You need to make sure your sibling gets a partner as well.
And do you both have similar taste in partners?
Usually not.
Usually not. But like right now it's starting to merge, which is a bit annoying.
And is that a plus or is that a negative?
Bad thing. I think it's a bad thing because now we're competing with someone who looks exactly the same as you.
Yeah.
Nice, all down to personality, guys.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, fair point. So what made you want to sign up? Because, I mean, it's a little bit of a risk to get your sibling involved in your dating life, isn't it?
Well, for us, it's not a risk because in real life, outside the villa, we do this on a daily basis. We always go on double dates. We don't like to go, like, alone to meet a guy. So when we do meet a guy, we usually tag along, you know what I mean? So for us, this was like a no-brainer. It was a perfect thing for us to do because we thought, now we can just do it on TV.
And how did you find the whole filming process?
The filming process was they were filming 24/7. It was a lot of filming. No breaks. Yeah, it was intense, but the thing is you kind of forget the cameras are there. If you know what I mean. So I don't know. We did enjoy it because eventually you forget that the cameras are there, so you're just living life in a nice villa and you have someone that you like around. So it was quite nice.
Yeah.
And are you happy with how it all went? Is there anything you would change?
I don't think we would change anything.
There's nothing we could change, but basically what I wish we did have was probably more time in the villa.
Yeah.
So how long were you there in total for?
I think 3 weeks. It was all in all 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice long holiday, really, but being filmed.
Yeah, it was nice. It's like basically going into a villa with a bunch of strangers you have no idea who is, and then, which was obviously a bit scary.
Yeah,
the thought it was a bit nerve-wracking, but we managed fine, I think.
And it was so like that's why it was also good to have your sibling there because you're walking into blindness.
Yeah, with someone at least.
And how has life been post-filming? Have you been like recognized and stuff like that?
Yeah, we have, and we find it so sweet because for us it means just like people are watching the show, which is great.
And they're like, "Oh, I really loved you on the show," so that's really cute. And it's like a lot of cute girls, so
yeah, mostly like teenagers and stuff. So it's really sweet.
And they're asking like pictures and stuff. And it's so sweet.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we get recognized a lot together, but when we separate,
people don't really recognize us when we are separate.
That's such a good point, because I think, that's something you kind of forget. Like, because you now come as a package, if you see just one, people don't recognize you as much. I can understand that. Have you had any bad comments on people who said, or, you know, on social media or anything like that, any trolling?
I think not on our Instagram, but I've seen like all your Nina is a bit toxic comments. But that's just, I don't know.
Yeah, we've seen some like comments. Not on our specific social media platforms like TikTok and Instagram. We haven't, but I think like other places on other people's pages, maybe like they're toxic or.
Sorry, I'm trying to move
this. That's okay.
Yeah. So not really. We've mostly got support, which is really good.
And people have created like fan pages of us, which is so sweet.
Yeah, fan pages, wow.
Yeah,
it's all this cute content. I'm like, can we post this picture?
Yeah, they're making like so many nice content of us, like remixing stuff that happened in the villa, which is sweet to see.
So what's next for you girls? Have you got anything planned in the pipeline?
So we're going to obviously focus on our social media platforms, and then we're going to create a YouTube channel as well, but that will come eventually in the future. But yeah, we have like, that's the main focus right now.
Yeah, definitely focus on social media and go from there. A lot of our followers, they love watching us like do things on the daily and like talk about makeup, hair,
skin, acne problems.
So we do like to interact with our audience in terms of that. So definitely that's probably where we're going to head.
And did you do a lot of that before?
Yeah, but it was just like between us. But now I can share that with people on a huge platform and just get feedback, get other tips. So it's just amazing to have that interaction that we didn't have before.
Yeah, that's one of the best things about doing these kind of shows is that it gives you such a big platform, doesn't it?
With all that interaction.
And you get so much tips back as well, which is great.
So I can just go online and be like, guys, I need help with this. And I'll get like 200 messages with actual help.
Yeah.
I could do with that. So are you both dating now? Did you meet people on the show? What happened?
Have you watched it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. This is why I'm so,
You haven't watched it.
Yeah. I've seen some clips. I've seen some clips, but I haven't watched the whole thing.
Do you want to spoil it for you or no?
No, don't spoil it. But
what I can say is like, yeah, we did meet people on the show, but don't say anything else than that. Like what else happened maybe. And I can say we're still in contact with them. Yeah. Yeah. And we're still in contact with them.
Okay, got it. Well,
still in contact as in the odd message or still in contact?
As a man,
physically.
maybe some cheeky kisses here and there.
Okay. And this is both of you, is it?
No, more than one of us.
More me.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's definitely like brave of you. What did you have any other family or friends who sort of had something to say about you both doing it together?
So I think all my friends definitely said this is a good opportunity for you, both of you, because you actually get to experience this together. And they all know that we are always together. So for them, it was like, this is the perfect. Yeah, this is like the perfect thing for you guys to do, because you guys never leave each other. Like you never leave each other. So you should just do this. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Do you think you'd do any more reality shows after this, or do you think you just want to focus on the social media stuff?
I think we're open. Like we love being on TV. It comes natural to us. So we don't want to close that door.
Yeah, definitely not.
And it was such a great experience as well. And you develop so much as a person as well. You become more confident. You become more outspoken. It's just like a good experience. Yeah.
And obviously, away from the show, you're siblings, twins, like does that cause any problems in your life, or are you I can tell you sort of finish each other's sentences and you obviously
we don't do that on purpose,
but I've seen that a lot with twins that are on TV and even ones that I know, like what's it like living as a twin? I guess don't know any different.
Yeah, that's the thing, we don't know any different. It's just like crazy. It can be tough sometimes because we have to get along, you know what I mean, like because we're with each other 24/7. And when I say 24/7, it's 24/7.
And we need to communicate at all times as well, because we share a closet, we share a social media.
And everything we do is like, if we go to a meeting, it's together. So if we have an argument, we need to just squash it straight away, because we don't have time to argue because we have stuff to do. So it is... So we need to just like leave that behind. We'll argue maybe later when we've done our like things for the day, and then we'll maybe do that.
It's like being in a relationship.
Yeah. So...
It's like you have to get along, it's like being married, it's tough.
Is it true what people say, like do you feel each other's pain? If one of you treads on a plug, does the other one feel it?
But not like, for example, if she's hurt from far distance, I'm not going to feel it like that. But if I see it, I feel it as if it's me, and then I will really act on my emotions based on what has happened.
Yeah, like if I'm in pain, she's in pain mentally, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It must be lovely to, because I get there's no bond like having a twin, I guess. I mean, I haven't got one, but I bet it's a lovely thing.
No, it is. That's why, like, throughout, like, our lives, it's like, oh, we don't really need a boyfriend. It's always been like that because we have each other, and we don't need a best friend because we have each other. So,
and even if we have a best friend, we'll share that best friend.
And I would used to think it must be so lovely. I mean, especially if you've got a twin of the same gender, where you, because I think double your wardrobe. So double shoes, double clothes.
Exactly.
Happy days.
Yeah. So if we need, like, if we want a pair of shoes, I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy them. And then you buy those and we have both of them.
Goals.
Yeah, totally. Right? That. But what are the things that you disagree about the most?
What do we disagree about the most?
It's mostly like, it's mostly stuff like the silliest things, like can you put this away, or it's like, oh, you didn't clean this up. It's like,
is this your plate?
You know, yeah, it's like the silliest stuff. We don't really have like huge arguments that,
but we do. We don't disagree on things in life, though. We have the same opinion usually.
Yeah, same viewpoint on things. So
that makes sense if you live together and you know now work together and all of that, because how would you ever?
It's because
we're outside that circle.
Yeah, the thing is, we're tag team. So if I do something, she will do like another thing.
We're a great team together.
Yeah, like together we're very efficient.
Who's the messy one?
Yeah, I'm not messy though. I'm not messy. I'm just messier.
Messier, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I love my sister, but I don't think I'd want to be with her 24/7. And I think she'd say exactly the same of me. Really?
I couldn't imagine being like without you. Because I lived a year in Paris and she lived here for a year, and we were on the phone 24/7 until we fell asleep. Yeah.
That is just crazy. It's like a marriage almost.
That's why it's really hard for people to come into our lives.
Yeah.
Because we're so strong together. It takes a really strong person to really like hang out with us and like be with us or be her boyfriend or my boyfriend.
It's just like we've never met anyone like us. And when we went on the show,
we actually did.
We met ourselves in male version, basically. Yeah. So another set of twins with the same kind of bond as us. And just approaching them and having a conversation with them
was like seeing
it's
us.
Like talking to two people. It's like,
yeah, it was like seeing,
yeah, it's like seeing us. Like we talk to two people and then two people come back at you with their comments. You know what I mean? Like,
and that's when we realized, like, wow, that's how people,
intimidating.
That's how people look at us, kind of thing.
Because we all have the same opinion.
Could you see yourself marrying twins?
No. That's going to be so tough.
That's going to be so
it's gonna be hard. I'm not going to lie. It's really hard.
Barely survived the villa.
Yeah, we barely survived, like, the villa.
Yeah.
Watch this space.
Yeah. Who knows? It might happen. Well, Nina Dunner from Dated and Related, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and hope your day of interviews comes to an end soon, because I know that can be quite intense.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so
you're
much.
You're welcome. Take care, girls.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Yeah, because Bob, you don't have a brother or sister, do you?
No, I'm only child.
It must be hard for you to even. I mean, like I said, you know, I love my sister, but you know, she came to visit this weekend with my nephew. But it must be hard for you to contemplate what that must be like, because that's another level.
Yeah, like, I can't even relate to that. Like, to me, this normal is what you know, isn't it? So when there's only one of you, I mean, I would love to have a brother or sister, but I do remember going through a stage of wanting a twin, but was hoping that we would have the same taste in clothes, we'd be the same height, we'd be the same. The reality is, if I had a twin, we probably wouldn't be wearing the same clothes. Mm-hmm. The one Bob is enough for the world, I think.
never. We need two Bobbies.
I'm sure he would hate my style of clothes, and no doubt, God's law, my bloody 80s.
Yeah, I can see.
But that's the perk of being a gay man, though, isn't it? It's almost the same. You get to double your wardrobe if your partner's a similar build.
That is a very good point, but as of yet, I've never dated anyone of a similar build. So that's the end of that. Right, our next guest, Fiddly Tap from Love Island 2020 is here, so let's get him in.
Let's do it. Hello, Fiddly. You all right, mate?
Yeah, very well. Yourself?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for joining us this evening. It's lovely to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Are you in your spare bedroom there? It looks very nice.
No, do you know what? This is, we're actually visiting Paige's family, so this is Paige's room.
Nice.
Outside. Yeah, hence the pink bed sheets.
Lovely. I was going to say, but I didn't want to, you know. Have you been? How's your summer been?
Oh, it's been good. It's been good. Sorry, did I just go off there?
Yeah, you're back now, though.
My summer's been good. It feels like it's just gone in a flash, though. Like, I always feel like up until summer takes ages, and then you quickly fast forward to, like, September, October, November, and it's
freezing
just
cold winter.
Aye. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I went in one shop the other day and one aisle was Halloween costumes, and there was also Christmas decorations out.
Here we go.
There should definitely be like a law with Christmas decorations. I cannot stand an early Christmas decor or whatever. I can't do it.
It's happening. You can't fight it anymore. This is just the way it is.
I know.
So obviously you and Paige came sort of to public fame in 2020, like literally just before the pandemic really kicked off, didn't you? What's life been like for you since then?
It's been crazy. It's certainly a lot different to what we were used to before the show. And it doesn't happen over a long period. It's so fast. Mm. So it's a lot to get used to, but it's been brilliant. And I'm, you know, got not one regret, and I'm so glad that, you know, we took the plunge and we both, you know, done the show together. And 2.5 years down the line, it's still all good.
And do you look back on the experience with fond memories?
Yes, I think, and what I've sort of spoke about before is, whilst you're in there, because you forget it's a TV show and stuff like that, and I would say this is as soon as me and Paige started developing quite a strong relationship, all my mind was I want to get out, I want to experience normal life and stuff like that. So when I didn't really appreciate it when I was in